Programming on Minnesota Public Radio is supported by Concordia College in Moorhead, committed to sending into society thoughtful and informed men and women dedicated to the Christian life. 800-699-9897.
Hi, I'm Peter Sagal. The more people who click and join at MinnesotaPublicRadio.org right now, the less time Minnesota Public Radio will spend on air fundraising, and everybody's entered in a special giveaway. Some might call this bribery, but this being Minnesota, we just call it nice.
MinnesotaPublicRadio.org. 6:30 past 11. And good morning. Welcome to Midday on Minnesota Public Radio. I'm Gary Eichten. Glad you could join us. This is a big week for the University of Minnesota. It is Founders Week at the U, a week-long series of events marking the university's 150th birthday. Among the events coming up this week, today is birthday at the Capitol Day, with University President Mark Udoff and Board of Regents Chair Patricia Spence leading the celebration. We'll have a report on the festivities a little later this hour. Tomorrow, here on Midday, we'll be hosting a forum at the U on the future of the university. And then on Friday, it's Maroon and Gold Day around the state. The President's Anniversary Tribute over the noon hour will feature a speech by Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter and author Thomas Friedman, and we'll be carrying that speech live as part of our Midday program. All these events for Founders Week were planned a long time ago, but it turns out that they are occurring against the backdrop of a very lively debate between Governor Jesse Ventura and University President Mark Udoff over just how much money the university needs to fulfill its mission. The U has asked the state for a budget increase of $221 million. The governor is proposing about a quarter of that. Governor Ventura says the university needs to tighten its belt and cut the fat, eliminate its mediocre programs, and focus on areas of excellence. President Udoff, for his part, says the U has already tightened its belt and cut the fat. He says that if the university doesn't get substantially more of its budget increase request, substantial program cuts or sharp tuition increases are sure to follow. Both the governor and the president have been out and about trying to convince you that they're right. Both have urged you to speak up. So, today you have a chance to. We are interested in your thoughts on the debate over the university's budget. Should the legislature back the governor and give the U only a quarter of the extra money that it's requested? Or should the legislature back University President Mark Udoff and give the university most, if not all, of the extra money that it's requested? The ball is in your court this hour, and we hope you'll join our conversation. Give us a call here, 651-227-6000, 651-227-6000. If you're calling from outside the Twin Cities, you can reach us toll-free, and that number is 1-800-242-2828. 651-227-6000 or 1-800-242-2828. Today we are talking about the debate underway over the University of Minnesota's budget, and specifically interested in where you come down on the debate, whether you agree basically with the governor that the university should make do with what it has, plus about $56 million in additional funding, or whether you agree with university officials who say that they need about $221 million in additional funding. At the heart of the dispute, say some, is the very future of the university. We'll, of course, be talking quite a bit about that tomorrow, the future of the U. For example, the university remain one of the few full-service research universities in the United States? Should the university remain at least a relatively low-tuition school with a very large student body? Or move to a different model, perhaps, perhaps significantly raising tuition and admission standards at the same time. Those are some of the items we'll be talking about tomorrow. Right now, we're talking about the budget debate. Both University President Udoff and Governor Ventura have asked you to weigh in on the subject, so we thought today we'd give you a chance to do exactly that. 651-227-6000 or 1-800-242-2828. Your thoughts on the big budget debate over the University of Minnesota. And up first, a caller from Minnetonka. Wynn, go ahead, please.
Yes, good morning. Over the weekend, I did some homework on the Internet and then using my Excel spreadsheet. But and I should be corrected if I'm wrong, but I got some stats, and the student population from the university on all campuses only rose 10% from 1992. And yet, if you go through with the budget increases from that same period till now, or with what they want to have now, that's 66% increase in being able to run the organization. In addition, the other day I heard that there are over 30,000 people employed by the University of Minnesota. And if you look at, and I'm looking at this again from the student population amount, I mean, that's 55,000 students or whatever being served by 30,000 people. That's an incredible heavy regime to maintain this institution. I also think that they should operate under similar constraints that you have in the free market, whether you're a company or just try to maintain your home. I mean, you have constraints that you have to live with, and I don't think they want to accept for that. I mean, good gracious, what's going to happen two more years from now when they want to, you know, how much more do they want then?
Mm-hmm.
Those are my comments.
Well, Wynn, before you run here, President Udoff argues that they've already made substantial budget, but reallocations. They've already moved around a substantial amount of money in the last 3-4 years, emphasizing more important programs, paring back on the numbers of vice presidents and the rest. And they've essentially stripped out much of the fat of the budget. I imagine you don't believe that.
No, I think any person in the private enterprise could go in there and really on a third, you know, like on an objective basis, go in there and really take out a lot more. I just think it's still too top heavy.
Okay,
and that's true of not just you, but all education. It's a big black hole and a sacred cow, and I think it has to be more and more accountable.
All right. Thanks, Wynn.
That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Let's move on now to Paula, who's on the line from St. Paul. Good morning, Paula.
Good morning. My goodness, sacred cow. I think the university needs to be treated like a sacred cow. I mean, education is so important, should be available, and should be affordable for anybody and everybody that wants to improve their education level. And I personally think that, you know, we've got Jesse the body, we've got Jesse the mind, but where's Jesse the brain? This is a no-brainer. We need to keep the university strong, active. We need to keep the programs improving. We need to pay the teachers well, and we need to keep tuition low and affordable.
Mm-hmm. Do you think the university, now I noticed that the university has nearly 500 degree programs. Compared to, the next closest Big Ten university has about 330 degree programs. Quite a spread there. And then, of course, it goes down from there. Do you think the university should pare back some of its offerings, though?
Well, if they say that they have pared back to some extent, and you've got people who are coming up in the world is changing, and you can't necessarily keep constraints where they were. I mean, there are people who have abilities to come up with wonderful ideas in programs that are creatively designed. And what is wrong with that? What is wrong with that?
Is there any amount any upper limit you would put on university requests?
I think that programs need to be reviewed. And I mean, you can't just let people, you know, go on without a review. There needs to be reviews. There needs to be reevaluations. But to cut back as drastically as the governor is proposing now, I think is really throwing the baby out with the bathwater. We have a wonderful university system here. It's affordable for a lot of people. I mean, why not have educated population and a high quality of life rather than people struggling to pay off their debts to get educated or trying to come up with grants and with monies from places where, you know, they're scrounging around for this? I mean, let's have intelligent people in the workplace. It's not the bottom line like it is in the marketplace in so many. This is educating our children. This is educating the next generation.
Okay. Thanks, Paula.
You're welcome.
Let's go on to another caller who's on the line from St. Paul. Al, that would be you. And where do you come down on this debate over the university budget?
I come down with the last caller, but I'd like to hark back to the first caller that you had. This is let's run it like a business. I think we've been doing that to a large degree under Carlson's regime. We've really held the line on the university's expenses for years and years, and now we've got this period of prosperity, and everybody says, give me my tax money back, instead of saying, you know what, we've suffered from these years of prosperity, and now it's time to step up our reinvestment. And I think Udolph has done a great job so far of looking at programs and reallocating things, I think that what has happened, Ventura represents it as an increase of $50 million. But when you're talking about a business, the university has fixed costs that they can't do anything about, the heating charges and things of that sort. And if you look at the model from a business model, this is a major reduction in money. So, I agree with the last caller. You shouldn't run it like a business, but even if you were, you wouldn't do what Ventura is doing now.
Okay. Would that include, would you be willing to forego any kind of tax cut if necessary to
Oh, absolutely.
Sure?
I mean, in this, why are we sending money back to people? yes, there is a segment of our society that could use some of that money back. But most of the people that are saying, give me my money back, are people that are quite well off. I don't think we should be doing these tax refunds that we're doing. I think that we should be, supporting K-12 through university at a much higher level than we are, and that we're a long ways from being able to meet it with the money that's available, even if through the entire budget excess at it.
All right. Thanks, Al.
You're welcome. Bye.
Let's go on to a caller who's on the line from Duluth. Good morning, Melody.
Yes.
And your position here on this debate over the university budget?
Well, I think people tend to really skew the debate. Special interest groups, they call in great numbers. They're very vocal. And, of course, they all want more money, and they make these very usual status quo cries about education being important and the tuition should be low for kids. And, yes, education is very important. The tuition should be low for kids. But, the public, I believe, and this is what I hear, is very much interested in supporting Ventura, Governor Ventura, and accountability issues that he's trying to insert at every level of education, whether it's public education and also at the college level. And I wish people would just simply listen when he says, do we need this, do we need that? Maybe we ought to evaluate. Maybe rather than just adding, we ought to do zero budgeting and go through with a fine-tooth comb and perhaps eliminate some things, perhaps streamline. There are always ways to do it. And I think people give him, Governor Ventura, a lot of credit for forcing these issues.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I hear. Public education is the same thing. He was very generous with budgets 2 years in a row. He warned them that the money should be used for reducing class sizes and other necessary things. And what did districts do? They succumbed, the school boards did, and gave teachers huge increases, having nothing to do with accountability, having nothing to do with a better education for kids.
Right.
And I just really welcome having a governor who addresses these issues.
Back,
and doesn't buy
right.
the usual PAP.
Mm-hmm. Back to the university for just a moment. As we noted earlier, President Udolph over at the U has argued, though, boy, we really, really have trimmed the fat, reallocated money, and are moving forward now. I gather you don't necessarily believe all has been done that could be done?
Well, I think there's always more can always be done. And I think you brought up a very interesting discussion about the degree programs. Do we really need that many? And particularly in this fast-paced, changing economy, perhaps there are degree programs we don't need anymore.
Okay.
Perhaps there are degree programs that can happen at another level. Perhaps it isn't appropriate to have it at the U. So, in other words, evaluation is a good thing always. And governors need to push those issues because they really are the only ones in a position to do that, and okay. I applaud him.
Thank you, Melody. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Let's go on to David, who's on the line. David, your thoughts on this great budget debate?
Well, good morning, Gary. Yeah, first of all, I have to say, you know, paying good teachers and trying to keep them by increasing their salaries so that they stay around has everything to do with quality education. And also, with respect to accountability, I find it interesting that the governor wants everyone to be accountable except himself, given some of his exploits of late. So I guess I would fall very much on the side of President Udoff. I do go to the U, and it's ironic, of course, that you know we brought him in from the University of Texas at Austin, which is in many areas a world class university, and we're trying to get the university to be one, and then all of a sudden we have a governor who, in a highly misguided fashion, frankly simply doesn't understand the kind of investment or reinvestment in faculty and facilities and in programs that are necessary to become the type of university that I think all of the people of the state of Minnesota deserve.
But, David, as I understand it, and I don't know this for a fact, but I've certainly read that the U of M is, I guess, one of only four kind of all-purpose universities, public universities left in the United States that offer pretty much everything. Is that the kind of university Minnesota should have, or should we perhaps follow the model that apparently most other schools have adopted and moved to a little more focused approach to education?
Well, again, that's a discussion that we can have, I suppose, but I think that we have to have the discussion before we start cutting a lot of money. I mean, we have to, you know, I understand what you're saying, that okay, are there certain things at the university that are no longer necessary, as the previous caller suggested? That may be true, but I think that before you start dropping the appropriations for the university, you want to have that discussion. You can't simply just pull the rug out from under all these programs and leave everyone to scramble and find out now that we know we're not going to get the money, we have to all of a sudden figure this out. I think that also that's something for university presidents and legislators to discuss before the rug gets pulled out, as opposed to what Mr. Ventura has done and basically just left people in the lurch. And now it's a matter of, well, clearly if they're not going to get the money, you know, there are going to be a lot of things that are going to get cut that maybe, you know, are going to be. The other thing is that a lot of these programs may be mutually supporting, so something that you think isn't necessary actually may support something that is necessary. So I think that, first of all, I just don't think that the governor, I mean, I'll be really, really honest. I didn't vote for the governor. I don't agree with the governor in most of his policy decisions. I agree with some, but not with many. And I, you know, I don't make a lot of money, but I would rather see my taxes go to K-12 education, even though I don't have kids. So, you know, I think that it was a very short-sighted, you know, decision on the part of the governor. But to my mind, he's a relatively short-sighted person. I mean, this is somebody who had the Vietnam GI Bill supporting whatever education he might have wanted to do, but wants everyone else to fend for themselves because they ought to be smart enough to do it.
Okay. Thanks, David.
Thank you.
Let's move on to Brock, who's on the line now. And Brock, what are your thoughts here on this debate? That it's kind of focused on the governor and President Udoff, but really involves larger issues. This budget debate regarding the university.
Well, honestly, I think that, you know, we need to have an outside group examine the university, examine, you know, all of the higher education in Minnesota, and decide what needs to be kept, what needs to be cut, and what the purpose and the mission of the various schools and the various universities are, and take from that and then decide how much money we need to be spending. I think, I mean, I tend to side with Jesse that, you know, I don't think that, you know, the educators really are the best people to be asking how much money they need. I mean, you know, you're going to say, oh, how much money do you think you need to have? Well, of course they're going to say they need, you know, $200+ million. It gets to be a little bit extreme. You need to have somebody from the outside come in and say, what do we really need? Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then decide. I mean, I think we need to fund it if that's what it really needs. We shouldn't just cut it without knowing, but we need to decide first and have outside decision-making in that process.
Now, there have been, Lord knows, I don't think hundreds, but certainly more than a few studies of the kind you're talking about over the years, yet the debate continues, to come up from time to time. Do you think studies are really the answer here, or is there some other approach yet?
Well, I think you know, just studies is not comprehensive enough. I think we need to sit down and decide what are our goals, what are our missions, and then make a plan of action based on that. Not studies of, percentages and, all these things from that are essentially done inside the universities, inside the education groups themselves. We need to have a mission statement and goals planned from that.
Okay. Thanks, Brock.
Thank you.
Let's go on to Mike, who's on the line with some thoughts on the budget debate. Mike, go ahead.
Yes, I was a student at the U of M for 7 to 8 years, and also I worked for the U of M for 10 years. I'm very much, unlike your other callers, I'm very much against any increase in funding for the U of M. I'll tell you why. The U of M has no oversight as to its funds and where its funds go. For example, a person at Utah said he cut $400 million from its present budget. I tend not to believe that. If an outside accounting organization wants to see that through or oversee that, that would be fine. In 1978, when the Star Tribune last reported on the investment portfolio of the U of M, it was then $450 million. Now it's called the Endowment Fund. It is close to $1 billion with a B, $1 billion. Also, what most people don't know, and the U of M keeps this very, very quiet indeed, is that the U of M also owns the land that Norwest Towers sits on. They can renegotiate their long-term lease with Norwest and get more money out of Norwest.
Well, Mike,
yes.
The total budget, as I understand it, the U of M, is close to $2 billion a year. The state provides about $600 million. So even if your figures are accurate and so on, and they're making a fortune on some of these other things, it's still it's a huge budget. Don't you think the state ought to increase the amount that it's paying toward the university? And then, of course, presumably the university would try to get more money out of its other holdings as well?
Only if it's earmarked for certain areas and for certain areas of the budget, of the U of M budget, because mostly that money is wasted on more personnel. I'm sorry, that's a strong word. It's geared towards certain things. I want it geared towards College of Liberal Arts, which was my college. All the monies seem to go at this time to expansion of the medical school, expansion of the law school, building funds for an Olympic-sized swimming pool, building funds for certain things. And I want to see it trickle down, to use a Reaganomic word, to the most needy departments. That is probably CLA and other departments that I don't know of. Those were very, very poorly funded. But just seems to be funded from the top, and whatever is left gets trickled down, and that's never enough for them.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. We're talking this hour about the debate that's underway in the state of Minnesota on the University of Minnesota budget. As you probably know, the university asked the state to increase its appropriation by about $221 million. Governor Ventura instead recommended an increase of about $56 million, roughly a quarter of what the university had been requesting. The university says that if that gubernatorial recommendation becomes law, it will have to make some big program cuts and or raise tuition substantially. They say that they would be seriously short of money. The governor, for his part, says the university needs to tighten its belt a little bit, get rid of some of the fat, and eliminate some mediocre programs. Both President Udoff at the university and Governor Ventura have been out and about talking to citizens around the state trying to rally support for their position, and we thought it would be interesting today to find out just where you stand on this issue, since apparently you'll play a key role in trying to decide how this debate is finally resolved. Part of our coverage this week, special coverage of the University of Minnesota, this being Founders Week, we have a big forum at the U tomorrow to talk about where the university is headed in the future. But today, it's your opportunity to talk budget, and we'd love to have you join us. 651-227-6000. 651-227-6000. Outside the Twin Cities, you can reach us toll-free at 1-800-242-2828. 651-227-6000 or 1-800-242-2828. We'll get to more of your calls here in just a couple of minutes.
Hi, I'm Kathy Werzer. You know, NPR's membership drive is right around the corner. We're trying to keep it short, and you can help. For 2 days, we're fundraising on the web. No interruptions of your favorite programs. All you have to do is click on to minnesotapublicradio.org and help support NPR. When you join on the web, you'll be entered to win a Bose home stereo system with radio, CD, and DVD player. And you'll also be eligible to win our grand prize of 200,000 Northwest Airlines frequent flyer miles. All just by joining on the web at minnesotapublicradio.org.
Can't beat it with a stick. Right now, we have some news headlines. Here's Greta Cunningham. Greta?
Good morning, Gary. President Bush is set to outline his education spending plans today. Bush is visiting an elementary school in Tennessee today. Aides say Bush will propose a $1.6 billion boost in education spending for the coming year as he wraps up a three-state trip to push his school and tax plans. During the presidential campaign, Bush promised to boost federal education spending by more than $47 billion over 10 years. Dissenting justices say today's Supreme Court ruling tramples on the powers of Congress. In a 5-4 decision, the U.S. Supreme Court says state workers can't sue for discrimination under the Federal Americans with Disabilities Act. The decision is a further cutback of the federal government's power over the states. The majority justices say the law can't remove the state's 11th Amendment immunity against being sued in federal courts. The FBI is still trying to calculate the damage allegedly done by a veteran agent. Robert Hansen is accused of spying for Russia for more than 15 years. FBI Director Louis Freeh says the intelligence losses appear to be exceptionally grave. In regional news, some parents in Thief River Falls are calling for students to boycott classes for one day next week as a protest against a school bus driver strike. One of the organizers of the boycott says he hopes the action will force the union and the district back to the bargaining table. 31 drivers and assistants walked off the job nearly 7 weeks ago. School administrators don't support the boycott. Since the strike began in early January, parents have been forced to drive their children to school. School officials in Willmar will begin looking at ways to cut programs now that district voters have rejected a property tax increase. About 53% of 5,100 people voting yesterday voted no on the excess levy referendum. The forecast for Minnesota calls for cloudy skies in the far west with some flurries possible in the southwest today. It'll be mostly sunny elsewhere with highs from 5 to 15 degrees. At this hour, Duluth reports sunshine, 7 below. It's sunny in Rochester, 4 below. Sunshine in St. Cloud and 9 below zero. And in the Twin Cities, sunny skies with a temperature of 1 below. Gary, that's a look at the latest news.
Thanks, Greta. 26 minutes before noon. This is Midday on Minnesota Public Radio. And this hour, we are talking about the budget debate, whether the University of Minnesota should get the $221 million in additional funds that it's requested from the state of Minnesota, or whether the University of Minnesota should get something closer to the $56 million, about a quarter of that request, that Governor Ventura has recommended. Lively debate is underway in the state of Minnesota. Both President Udoff and Governor Ventura have been out and about trying to convince Minnesotans of the rightness of their position. And today is an opportunity for you to let us know where you stand on that debate. Give us a call, 651-227-6000 or 1-800-242-2828. Don't call right now. You'll get a busy signal. But as we work our way through the callers, some of the lines will open up, and we'd like to get you on the air as well. George, where do you come down on this debate?
Well, Gary, appreciate you taking my phone call. I'd have to agree with the governor. I think it's foolish on our part to write a blank check to the university every time they think we should give them some money. We haven't had gone a year without a major controversy over there, whether it be in the athletic department or the medical department with the ALD scandal and the Jerrion. And I think, again, it's just foolish for us to say, okay, university, here's all the money you need. I am more of an opponent of strategic spending, similar to what you might apply to your home, where not every year do you spend the same amount of money on the same thing. We, I think, as a state, could funnel some of our money towards areas that we want to have an impact. I think it's A good example over at the university is where we have excelled, or the university has excelled, is generally where we have spent the most money. And I'm okay with that philosophy, but I don't think that we should continually spend an exorbitant amount of money in each individual area. I think if we strategically targeted specific dollars from time to time to areas that are lagging, we would be able to, again, develop a more comprehensive educational system.
President Udoff says he's already been doing that, targeting money to specific programs, moving money around, cutting vice presidents and the rest.
I guess I would be interested in having a little bit more of an open discussion about that. I don't know if he's necessarily the best person to decide where that is. We have many University of Minnesota branch schools or state colleges. I think we might be able to condense some of that and or target farm dollars towards Morris, mining dollars or mining technology dollars towards the University of Minnesota Duluth. And again, just strategically put our money where we're going to get the most for it. And I don't know that we're always doing that with the university.
All right. Thanks, George.
Thank you.
Today is birthday at the Capitol Day for the University of Minnesota, part of their Founders Week celebrations. And today's activities were, among other things, billed as the first time that Governor Ventura and University President Udoff would be making a joint appearance together since the governor released his budget recommendations, launching the great debate over the university's budget. Minnesota Public Radio's Laura McCollum was at the ceremonies up at the Capitol a few minutes ago. How did it go, Laura?
Well, it was interesting. I think everyone was very closely watching the dynamics between the governor and Mark Udoff to see how the two of them got along. Before they both spoke, they were standing on the stage together, joking, seemed very cordial. And then they each made some brief comments, and it began with Mark Udoff, who actually seemed a little uncomfortable. It seems like the strain of this whole debate is starting to wear on him. He just read from a prepared statement, as opposed to the governor, who made a few jokes and seemed a little more at ease. Here's what Mark Udoff had to say.
From its earliest days as a territory, this state has been unusual in the way that it has valued education. Governor Ramsey saw the establishment of the university as part of Minnesota's, quotation, Olympic race to greatness. And that's been our consistent theme throughout history. The legacy of education brings us here today, an educated populace and a wonderful quality of life, though it is clear we have not been able to do much about the weather.
And after Mark Udoff made his comments, we heard from House Speaker Steve Swigum and DFL Senate Majority Leader Roger Moe. Then Governor Ventura spoke. And he immediately addressed this whole issue, the perception that his budget is way too harsh on the University of Minnesota.
I'm especially thankful to be here today, because if you believed everything you read in the newspapers these days, you'd probably think I don't care about the University of Minnesota. Well, if you believe that, you're very wrong. I do care. I think each and every one of us who's born and raised in this state has a memory, something they hold with them that deals with the University of Minnesota. It may be you've gone to school there, got a terrific education there. It may be something even more simple, as it is in my case.
Governor Ventura talked about that memory, which was when he was growing up in South Minneapolis, he always wanted to go to the old brick house, the old football stadium, and rush onto the field and squeeze the pylons. And he said he got his dream. This is true. He said he achieved his dream at one point when his school, Roosevelt High School, played St. Paul Central in the Twin Cities Championship, and he was able to rush onto the field and squeeze the pylons. So that was his memory that that he talked about.
But generally, maybe a little chilly, but no blows were struck today.
Absolutely not. This obviously was not the occasion for that.
Right. Thanks, Laura. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
The debate over the university budget continuing here in the state of Minnesota. Today is birthday at the Capitol Day for the University of Minnesota, part of its Founders Week celebration. And as part of that activity today, as you heard from Laura, they had the ceremony at the state capitol in the rotunda, and for the first time really since the governor released his budget, both President Udoff and Governor Ventura made a joint appearance. This hour we're interested in your thoughts on the budget debate. Who is on the right track, do you think? Governor Ventura, in terms of calling for the university to tighten its belt, cut the fat, or President Udoff, who says the belt has already been tightened, the fat has been cut, and the university needs more money to fulfill its mission? 651-227-6000 or 1-800-242-2828. Dee, go ahead, please.
Hi. I don't really think the issue is the governor's budget or the stature of the university or their birthday. What I think the issue is affordable education for students graduating in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I'm stunned that the university doesn't have a contingency plan for when they are not funded. Any other organization or business would have that sort of thing. The second thing that I'm thinking about is that, you know, there's some Chinese quote that says something like, you know, the path that you're following will get you where you're headed. And to me, as a graduate of the university 12 years ago, I see that tuition costs and lacks of support from the government in the budgets of the universities are an ongoing issue. And it's it's evident to me that it's time for our universities to change their path rather than keep revising what they're doing. And I'd also like to suggest that maybe we should consider giving high school graduates from Minnesota vouchers for further education, or if you want to call it financial assistance, where they can take the opportunity, if they choose, to use a certain amount of money for tuition and vocational or college education,
mm-hmm.
and see where that money flows to. You know, it seems that what we need to be doing is addressing the issues for kids today. And I know my son, who's 23, couldn't possibly afford to go to school without putting himself in debt for years and years and years. And I think that somewhere we've gotten off the path that we should be heading in.
Now, the university has taken pride in being a relatively low tuition school, at least compared to many of the other Big Ten schools. But you think more should be done in that area?
Well, as someone who paid cash for my tuition for 5 years on a two-person budget and or on a two-person income and a three-member family budget, I know that as a young person, despite the fact that the university is low, doesn't really mean anything because it's not affordable for many, many, many people. And I think that's evident in the amount of years that they have to pay back for their education. I mean,
okay.
It's extraordinary.
Thanks, Dee.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate it. Let's move on to Ron, who has a comment on the budget debate. Ron, go ahead, please.
Yeah, don't they, if I heard right on the news, and that Swigum and the governor both said in that that we could have a checkoff list if we want to give our rebate back to the state to give to the university, they'd be more than happy to do it. And that another thing I don't understand is that is none of these educational places, through including K through 12, none of them ever seem to have enough money, no matter what we give them. Give them $1 zillion, they still come back next year and go, I think we lost some money here. We need more for this or for that. It's just an ongoing black hole, like the governor says. There should be some accountability somewhere.
President Udoff says, gosh, he's already moved a lot of money around at the U and eliminated a lot of the fat and put money, existing monies, into the better programs. But having done all that, he says he still needs more money because, you know, some of the programs just need a lot more money, including the medical school especially.
Well, to me, it sounds like, you know, trying to keep up with the Joneses and that. And that if this university's got this, well, then we've got to have that, and plus we have to have it better. And that I believe the university should go more into specializing then, where they can put more of our resources in instead of constantly coming back to the taxpayer saying we need more money, we need more money. It's just like K through 12. We need more money, we need more money. It's just a never-ending cycle. And that I agree with that other gentleman that said all these endowments they've got, and that why don't they use some of that money? I mean, it's kind of like Roger Moe with rainy day funds. How many rainy day funds can you keep stocking up on it? It's raining for them, evidently. So use the money.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks, Ron.
Thank you.
Let's move on to Ken, who's on the line from Minneapolis. And Ken, as you listen to the governor and to President Udoff, where'd he come down?
I wouldn't say that I agree with Governor Ventura, but I have to say that my comments have more to do with mission. I believe that the University of Minnesota needs to look into its mission, decide what it really wants to be. If it wants excellence, it needs to be focused on excellence and needs to maybe change its mission. I moved here from the state of Washington, and the state of Washington, the University of Washington, is the premier school for the state of Washington, and all the other state schools are basically funneling institutions. So you can get into those schools if you have a lower GPA or if you're not as high in your class or whatever. And if you decide you want to eventually move to the University of Washington, then you can reapply later and try to get into that school. What I see at the University of Minnesota is that it's kind of lukewarm in all areas, and it needs to, there are areas where it can trim some departments that probably don't even belong there, some schools that may not belong there, and that there are some hard choices that need to be made.
Now, Ken, in the past in Minnesota, when the university has attempted to close down programs and the rest, a hue and cry has gone out from various constituencies, various people around the state. No, you can't cut that. You have to leave that open. You have to do this. You have to do that. Do you think there's broad support in the state of Minnesota now, or broadening support for the university to narrow its focus some?
I think there's broadening support. I have to admit that the state, whoever has to make those choices, it'll be hard because there'll be a lot of people who will be angry. But at the same time, these are choices that have to be made now. We have an economy that may seem like there's a lot of surplus, but we're at a juncture, a time when we need to be making certain economic choices and certain choices about what we want to be as a state and how we want the university to appear and to be presented to all the other, you know, because we need to be competitive. Mm-hmm. And if we're going to do that, we really need to be making some serious choices, raising the standard, cutting where there needs to be cuts, and putting our resources into excellence. I really believe that.
Thanks, Ken. Appreciate it. Let's go on to Kathy, who's on the line from Bemidji. Good morning, Kathy.
Hi. I'm calling concerning programming and the overall view of education in this state. A few years ago, the Crookston branch of the university put in some four-year programs that were in direct competition with existing programs at Morehead State and Bemidji State. If we're competing with each other for students, I don't think we're serving the needs of the state. It costs money to put in programs, and if there are existing programs that bolster the economy in other areas, why are we doing that? And I'm sure that this isn't an isolated instance. I believe there's impetus to put programming in Rochester, and there are existing state universities in that part of the area. I think we have to look at the whole state and look at the duplication of effort and not try to funnel everything into the Twin Cities where you have the problems of crime and housing and the increased costs of property, the traffic problems that we hear about ad nauseum up here where we maybe see a deer on the way to work. I just think that we're not looking at the whole state. We're so much as focused on the Twin Cities and doesn't look at the economy of the whole state.
Okay. Thanks, Kathy.
Thank you.
Let's go on now to a caller who's on the line from Minneapolis. And your thoughts on this budget debate over the university?
Yes, thank you. I can actually agree with almost everything that's been said. I was a graduate student at the U, and I worked for a while as a researcher at the U, and I still am involved with working with the U and some other aspects. Basically, right. The U is a black hole. There's a lot of bureaucracy. I was very frustrated with the inefficiency of the U. That given, though, public education, if you're going to try to run it as a business, is always going to be a black hole. You're never going to see a rate of return on revenue, and costs are always rising based on inflation. What I think the governor and other people need to do is really consider, though, what is the U to the Minnesota? I would believe that the U itself has added a lot to Minnesota. It's basically been bringing in some of the best and brightest from other states and from other countries. And particularly if you look at the high-tech industry, how many people working in the high-tech industry came from grad schools in the U, and how many people came from other countries like China and India to contribute to the high-tech industry. Basically, I myself am not from Minnesota, and I frankly wouldn't have come here if it wasn't to come here to go to grad school for the U. I think if the governor has been good at sort of seeing, with the light rail debate, seeing how a government input does help create a better quality of life and does help build the economy. I think if you would take a look at the San Francisco Bay Area, it's no accident that Silicon Valley is right there next to Stanford and the University of California at Berkeley, two of the greatest universities in the world.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Let's get at least one more caller on here before we wrap up. Tom, your thoughts on this debate over the university budget?
Good morning, Gary. Nice to talk to you.
Good talking with you.
First of all, let me say that I am behind the university 100%. As a matter of fact, I've got a daughter right now that's a freshman, UMD in Duluth. Having said that, Gary, what I would suggest to the people that are running the university system is that they sort of refocus to their main purpose of teaching. And as opposed to, for example, the St. Paul campus, if you go over there, you'll see a huge infrastructure, including things like their own police force. They've got their own graders, their own dump trucks, garbage trucks, their own dedicated courier service, their own heating plant. Now, in my opinion, the money that's being sent to the university should be directed toward teaching and research. It shouldn't be directed to things like picking up their own garbage. These are things that could be put up for bid and probably done a lot cheaper by the private sector. And I was wondering what your thoughts might be on that.
Oh, I'm not going to comment. Your thoughts are the ones we're interested in. Tom, thank you very much for calling.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Bye.
Well, we are unfortunately about out of time here, but I wanted to call your attention. I appreciate all of you who called in or tried to call in with your comments on this debate. Interesting discussion underway here in the state of Minnesota. Tomorrow, we're going to have some very special programming. 11 o'clock, Mike Edgerly will be in. We'll package together many of the reports on the University of Minnesota that you've been hearing through the week. Then from noon to 2, we'll be over at the University of Minnesota for a special forum on the future of the university, just where the U is headed, where it should be headed, how, what the future is going to hold for the university as it celebrates its 150th birthday. So we hope you'll be able to join us. 11 to 2, special program tomorrow.
We know. Many of you have asked why our pledge drives aren't longer. Hey, we have radio to produce. Radio that we produce for you with the help of your support. I'm Catherine Lanfer, the host of Mid-Morning, here to remind you that one way we keep more programming and less pledging on the air is with our special two-day web pledge drive. So go right now to MinnesotaPublicRadio.org, click and join. You could win neat stuff, which makes up for the fact you're missing those old-fashioned two-week pledge drives.
MinnesotaPublicRadio.org. 6 minutes now before 12.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday. It's the 21st of February, 2001. It's the birthday of columnist and author Irma Bombeck, born in Dayton, Ohio, in 1927. She became a columnist for the Dayton Journal Herald after she graduated from college, gave up her job to stay home and raise three children, and then returned to her writing because she was, as she said, too old for a paper route, too young for Social Security, and too tired for an affair. She wrote a number of best-selling books based on her column. The Grass is Always Greener, Over the Septic Tank, If Life is a Bowl of Cherries, What Am I Doing in the Pits, and others. Irma Bombeck, who said, "It goes without saying that you should never have more children than you have car windows." It's the anniversary of the first issue of the New Yorker magazine, this day in 1925. It's the birthday of poet Whiston Hugh Auden, W.H. Auden, born in York, England, 1907. Moved to America in the late 30s, became an American citizen. Wrote many, many poems. Also wrote the libretto for Benjamin Britten's opera, Paul Bunyan, and for Igor Stravinsky's The Rake's Progress. It's the birthday of writer and diarist Anais Nin, born in Neuilly, France in 1903. Probably most famous for her writings that perhaps were never intended for readers. During her lifetime, she wrote more than 35,000 pages of diaries from about 1914 to 1974. And although she wrote novels and essays and criticism, she first came to literary prominence in America in 1966 when the first volume of her diary came out. And she was a woman who had a good deal to write in her diary. She had had many passionate love affairs. She had an affair with both Henry Miller and his wife, June. It's the birthday of writer Raymond Queneau, born in Le Havre, France, in 1903. Influenced by the Surrealist movement in the 1920s, he was the first French novelist to write language as it was spoken on the street, regardless of syntax and grammar. His book, Exercises in Style, recounts a very brief and ordinary encounter on a bus, 99 different ways, including in prose and free verse and as a sonnet and as a play. Best known for his novel, Zazie, 1959. It was made into a movie by Louis Malle in 1960. And it's the birthday of Charles Scribner, born in New York City, 1821. 1846, he founded a publishing firm, Baker and Scribner, which came to be Charles Scribner's Sons, which published F. Scott Fitzgerald, Edith Wharton, Ernest Hemingway, Thomas Wolfe, and many others. Here's a poem by W. H. Auden on his birthday, entitled Inscription for a War, which quotes the inscription at Thermopylae, "Stranger, go tell the Spartans, we died here, obedient to their commands." Linger not, stranger, shed no tear, go back to those who sent us here. We are the young they drafted out to wars their folly brought about. Go tell those old men, safe in bed, we took their orders and are dead. A poem by W. H. Auden, Inscription for a War. From W. H. Auden, the collected poems published by Random House and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, brought to you by the people at 21NorthMain.com, where book lovers find 13 million gently read classics, bestsellers, and rare masterpieces on the web at 21NorthMain.com. Research by Sharon Kohlberg. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Regional broadcasts of the Writer's Almanac are supported by Marquette Banks, your community bank, offering a broad range of financial services for your business and personal needs.
Right after station identification, Gray Matters, brain surgery in the brain.
Join Minnesota Public Radio all this week for a series of reports on the University of Minnesota as it marks its 150th year. Tune in Morning Edition and All Things Considered for the Universal U on KNOW-FM 91.1 in the Twin Cities.
You're listening to Minnesota Public Radio. Partly cloudy sky and zero at KNOW-FM 91.1 Minneapolis and St. Paul. Sunny this afternoon with a high temperature 8 to 14 degrees above zero. 20% chance for light snow tonight with an overnight low 5 to 10 above. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and warmer with a high temperature in the upper 20s.